Swigert.
Chris Swigert's mom, we want to keep in prayers for as well. She's in hospice, right? Well, I'd like to give you some food for thought with this morning's message. It seems like there's a lot of references to food in the Bible, starting in Genesis even with the creating of seed-bearing plants and fruit trees for food. Ending in Revelation, we actually have Jesus says he's knocking and wants to come in and have a meal with us. And then there's many more references to food in between those two books in the Bible. So, probably for the first time in your life, you're going to hear a sermon that starts off by me spending a few minutes highlighting some of those references to food. Now, of course, there's the Last Supper, when Jesus ate his final meal with his disciples before being crucified on the cross. You may not remember, but Jesus cooked breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and ate with his disciples after the resurrection. Here's one from the Old Testament. Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. God directed a raven to bring food to Elijah while he was on the run from his enemies. Then God delivered, I know you all know this, when God delivered food in the form of manna to the Israelites for 40 years. God was the original door dasher. I don't know if you knew that. Now here's even a verse where Jesus describes himself as food. John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not go hungry, and whoever believes in me will not be thirsty. Now then, what I want to do is take just a couple minutes and share some specific foods that are mentioned in the Bible. Some of these might surprise you. Some of them surprised me. Let's start with categories. I'm going to start with fruit. They include, again, specifically mentioned these words in the Bible. Apples, almonds, dates, figs, grapes, melons, olives, pomegranates, raisins, and then nuts. Now, what really surprised me is the nut that the Bible mentions specifically is pistachio nuts. If you don't believe it, go to Genesis 43:11 and check it out yourself. Here's a list of a few veggies. Beans, cucumbers, gourds, leeks, lentils, and corn and onions. Now, did you notice the absence of bell peppers? Yeah. They are of the devil, in my opinion. I hope I've made that clear. Now, what about under grains? The Bible specifically mentions barley, flour, millet, wheat, and then bread, of course. Under the category of meat, fish is all throughout, but in addition to fish, there's partridge, pigeon, quail, and dove. And as far as I know, they all taste like chicken. Other meats include calf, goat, lamb, oxen, sheep, and venison. So, long before Arby's, the Bible has the meats. Wouldn't you agree?
There's no tacos.
Well, I'm still searching. I'm looking at other translations. Now, also the Bible mentions these foods specifically. Butter, cheese, milk, eggs, grape juice, raw honey, olive oil, vinegar, and then there's even mention of curds. And they came, I understand, as from some research, they came from the unknown Hebrew tribe, the Wisconsinites. Apparently you've heard of them. Well, why did I take so much time talking about what the Bible mentions regarding food? Could be the first thing when I was writing this sermon, I was hungry. But mainly the reason I did it is because Matthew, these next verses in Matthew, it's going to talk about food and lots of it. Jesus, we're going to find, again, caters a feast for a large crowd, in this case, 4,000 men plus. Now, we recently read about a miracle of him feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. Here's that same miracle being performed again, but this is at a different time. This is in a different place, and this is with a different crowd. So let's get to today's verses. Matthew, starting with verse 32 of chapter 15. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, "I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way." The disciples replied, "Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness to feed such a huge crowd?" Jesus asked, "How much bread do you have?" They replied, 7 loaves and then a few small fish." So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground, and then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. And then Jesus sent the people home, and he got into a boat and crossed over to the region of Magadan. Well, the first thing that strikes me is Jesus preached for 3 days. And the hungry people didn't seem ready to leave. It's just that they were out of food, you know, and Jesus was concerned about it. Now, do you all know what deja vu is? I think we all know what that is. It's the experience of living something and having the feeling that you've lived it before. It's super weird when it happens. Most of us can probably remember that feeling at some point. And so after hearing today's passage, some of us might be thinking we're experiencing deja vu. But we're not. Jesus is just working the same miracle that he's worked before. And we'll see that what Jesus accomplishes in today's passage is very similar yet distinct from one of the other great works he's already done. Again, in these verses of Matthew, Matthew describes Jesus as feeding a crowd of 4,000 people after spending 3 days with them. Jesus has compassion on the people. He doesn't want to send them away hungry. So he calls his disciples to him and asks how much bread they have and how much fish they have. And when they tell him that they have 7 loaves and a few small fish, he tells the crowd to sit down on the ground, breaks the fish and bread up in little pieces after he's given thanks. And then everyone eats. The disciples pick up everything that's left over, and it was 7 basketfuls. So here's the first takeaway, maybe the major takeaway from today's verses, as I see it. Jesus is not only able to do anything in the world for us, but he also deeply cares for us. He recognized that the people were hungry. He sees when we have something that we need, even as basic as that. So Jesus can, and he does, care. Well, Jesus said, "I feel sorry for the people." Jesus is not just a king and Messiah and Lord. He is a compassionate king, Messiah, and Lord. He not only has the ability to provide what we need, he has the desire to provide what we need. So we see that he had compassion to provide food for this hungry crowd, and so he just did it. Now, this is where the deja vu moment maybe comes in. Now, some of you might be thinking we've done this already. We've covered this already. And the fact is, yes and no, we have covered something very similar to this. There's two times recorded in the Bible about feeding of thousands of people. And we covered the one about the 5,000. But this wasn't that same group of thousands of people. There's some similarities and there's some differences. So let me start with what's similar between these two miracles of feeding multiple people. First of all, the disciples are there with Jesus in both cases. There's a large crowd. The food is fish and bread in both. Jesus performs a miracle to multiply the food, and the last similarity is there's leftovers, lots of them. But there are some differences between these two miracles. The fact that Jesus brought up that the people were probably hungry, this time, the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples brought it up. This time, the number was 4,000 men. Last time, it was 5,000. This time, there were 7 baskets of leftover food. Last time, 12 baskets. And finally, and maybe most importantly for our study, is that this crowd of the 4,000 were Gentile. And the feeding of the 5,000, those were Jewish people. So these are two distinctive, entirely distinctive events. And here's the definitive biblical evidence of that very fact. In just a few weeks, we'll be covering Matthew chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. Jesus is going to be speaking about the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciples start getting confused, and so Jesus corrects them, and I'm going to read the verses that we will get to in a few weeks. I'm going to read them today. Matthew 16, starting with verse 8. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, you have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having bread? Don't you understand even yet, he says? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Jesus clearly refers to both events. So both events really happened in his ministry. And we see that Jesus not only does mass miracles, but he does so on multiple occasions to people of multiple ethnicities. Our Messiah is a master of multiple miracles to multiple masses of people. So as we have seen in previous verses in Matthew, Jesus' blessings are available not only for just the Jewish people, but for all the people of the world. Here's my concluding thoughts. To summarize this sermon, here's the bottom line. Jesus comes through again and again with power and provision. He's done so in the Gospel of Matthew. And he does so in our lives as well. Jesus is always faithful. Jesus has never-ending power and provision. He has blessed us as a church, and he will bless you and me as well. And one of the greatest results of his power and provision is that he can bless others through us. The miracle of this story is about Jesus providing food to satisfy the people's physical hunger. And he didn't supply just enough. That would have been a miracle. Let's feed 4,000 men plus women and children and give them just enough. But he doesn't do that. He didn't supply just enough. He supplied more than enough. It says everyone ate until they were satisfied. I could use a little more fish over here, and they could use a little more bread over here. Keep sending the bread. They're still hungry. And it got to the point where everybody's like, no, I'm done. I'm done. And then the disciples went and picked up all the leftovers. Nothing was wasted. So he satisfied their physical hunger. But the other thing, the last thing I take away from this story, is that Jesus fed the people through his words to satisfy their spiritual hunger. For 3 days, no less. And they left satisfied in their soul. So, I've only given you about 20 minutes of spiritual nourishment. But I hope you can walk away satisfied in your soul this morning. With physical hunger, we need to eat every day. And the same is true with spiritual hunger. So I'm encouraging you, open up God's Word and find something to snack on later today. And maybe this week, be sure to have a big meal, starting tomorrow with the Bible as your main entree. Okay, I've given you a lot to chew on. I hope this will give you some food for thought for this week. What do we have to close with?
203 in the chorus.
203 in the chorus.